Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is Kyle Harris, one of the stars of Freeform's Stitchers, a hit show that I absolutely adore. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Summer.
Now, you are part of the, shall we say, fan favorite Team Camston.
Yeah, I am. I'm the Cam and the Camston, I suppose.
How have you been sort of fielding the questions about Cameron and Kirsten not being in a relationship yet?
It's one of those things that, you know, for like any kind of, you know, show with your two lovelies, kind of, you know, ultimately, you know, from the get-go, you see that there's a spark and you know that, that one day you hope that they'll be together. But I think what the writers have done with this season is they've given room for both of those characters to grow and to learn about themselves and about each other and the kind of how they operate those emotions on top of the, you know, the high-risk job that they do every day. And, you know, that used to be a factor that kind of got in between them and caused a rift here and there. And then, you know, obviously this season it's Kirsten's father, but on Cameron's side of things, it's, you know, he finds Nina, which he kind of pursues because, you know, from what we saw in the first episode of season two, is like he's kind of lived his life for today. And he's willing to wait for Kirsten. And then, but then when he, you know, approaches her again and says, is that what I am? Am I just your friend? And she says, you're my best friend. And he just is like, all right, well, I'm going to take that to heart and I'm going to go with, you know, stick to my plan and just kind of go on with my life. And I'm always going to be in her corner, but at the same time, I need to do me. And through that, you know, the two characters really kind of start to evolve with how they kind of go about life in the workplace, just, you know, not together as much as, you know, I think the fans wish they would be.
Well, I, for one, am enjoying the change. Like, the first episode of season two was called 2.0. And as we're going along, it seems like everybody's role and perspectives on everything has been rebooted. Maggie has more responsibility now. Kirsten has emotions. Cameron has gone from science nerd to action hero nerd. Camille is turning from sort of sidekick into action hero goddess herself. And Linus is, I'm growing up now. So everybody has gone into a 2.0 phase, and I'm enjoying the character stretches.
Absolutely. I think that the writers really kind of gave us a lot more to chew on this season. And I think the first season, we kind of taught our audience what we are and what we do. And the second season is now, what do we do with that information and how do we go forward? So I think it's, you know, definitely an ensemble show that is, you know, which I think brings the audience back each week because, you know, they're evolving with our characters as well.
So what has been the most fun for you of the changes that have happened and that are coming up?
I think what's most fun for me is that, you know, the evolution of these people. You know, when Stitches was first kind of getting its feet wet in the first season, you know, these characters were all just, they didn't know life outside the lab, outside of their textbooks, you know, outside of their, you know, their schoolwork. And so they were bogged down with this responsibility, which kind of left them socially inept in ways. And now that they're realizing that they have a lot more power, you know, just by in doing the everyday job that they're faced with, they have a lot more power now and they have a lot more responsibility, but through that comes a certain amount of confidence that we're starting to see with these characters. And I think that's the most fun for me to play is, like, you know, yes, Kirsten was started out as like the Pinocchio, like the wooden boy who now has, you know, real boy feelings. But for Cameron, it's kind of the same way. It's like he is now kind of growing into his own. So we get to kind of just put on a different mask for the second season and just really just grow from where we, you know, first saw them and first fell in love with them to, you know, like, oh my gosh, these people are fully realized now and have really come into their own. And, you know, you start to buy that, like, these people do, like, you know, earn the right to carry that NSA badge this season.
And here I was looking forward to seeing Cameron on a motorcycle knocking out motorcycle one-liners from movies.
Yeah, right. You know, I think that was definitely one of those things. I was like, so I don't think they asked me actually during the hiatus if I can ride a motorcycle. I said, I mean, I can learn what has happened, what is going on, like, hopefully a bit later. But I think it just, you know, if anything, I was like, you could have had a stunt double, right? And I could have, like, you know, taken off the helmet and kind of had my, you know, shaking my hair out in the wind and had one of those dramatic moments. But I think they realized it was best for everyone if I stayed off the bike.
And all of the fans are now lamenting losing the fact of you playing with your hair after a motorcycle ride.
That was one take I did. I just was like, you know what, why not? And it stuck, and I think Bevan kind of laughed at it. And, you know, it's just kind of been a big joke on set with everyone that, you know, Kyle's got to do the Cameron hair and floof it up, make sure. But at the same time, I've got to compete with Emma's height. And so, you know, she's a tall girl, and I got to give her, you know, got to give the hair a little boost to kind of, you know, keep up.
So how did the hair jokes move in? Because they were subtle in the first season, but now they're actually just full on right there, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, we're all kind of just a tighter knit family this season, and I think there's, you know, we find the joy in just kind of poking fun at each other, and just kind of like, you know, highlighting the things that, you know, we as actors and we as people bring to the table, and they just kind of use every weapon that they can just to kind of make the show more personal. So I think the fans are enjoying it as well.
So do Cameron and Fisher actually end up becoming, you know, buddies, bar buddies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Because I absolutely love the way they've expanded Damon's role. And just the jokes before, it was like, so getting shot is a way to avoid having a beer with a friend. And just it goes from there. And I've just loved watching him working with Camille and just sort of warming very, very slowly to Cameron.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's kind of like the father figure to all of us, and he's kind of like the big brother to Cameron. And I think now that, you know, he kind of saw what, you know, both of each other's, you know, with what happened, how he took the bullet for me in the restaurant at the end of season one, and how I, you know, what I did for the team. I think there's this, you know, mutual respect now that we have each other as far as, like, taking on this task that we have as cops on the field. So I think, you know, we can only build upon that and hope, you know, with hopefully seasons to come.
What do you look forward to, like, whenever you had gotten a new script for a new episode, what for you is what you're excited to look forward to?
For me, you know, the case of the week is you know, it's just a formula that, you know, you've seen in, you know, several procedural shows, and it's always interesting to see how we've built upon the case of the week, and like how we've, the first season they started out with younger crimes and younger cases that were all, you know, more relevant to the audience's age that they were kind of feeding into. But then we kind of upped, you know, the stakes a little more in the second season and brought on, you know, crimes and things that happened just kind of to the everyday person, not necessarily teenagers. And then, you know, as exciting as that is to see how more in depth we've gone in that story, my favorite thing that I always look forward to is how the relationships evolve through these overarching serial storyline of, you know, of Kirsten and finding her father and the team finding out the true purpose of the Stitches program. So for me, each week I'm kind of wondering, you know, how much more will we learn as actors about this program, because we're still kind of left in the dark as to what the overall purpose is. So, you know, I think they just slowly chip away at it and, you know, kind of let the audience in a little more, you know, each week as to what the overall purpose is and to, you know, what is, you know, what and who started the Stitches program and what was the purpose of it, you know. So hopefully if we get, you know, another season, we can really kind of dive into that, that area of the story.
Now, Jeffrey, the creator producer of the show, has he given you any hints as to what's coming along, or is he playing everything close to the vest?
Well, you know, we've all talked about, you know, we all have talked about how we want to move the story forward if we're, you know, fortunate to have another season. And, you know, what's being dropped right now, as far as just kind of where everyone's trying to get their heads around, is that the writers want to take the Stitches program public. That's kind of been like the hint they've been saying, is that in season three, we're exposed. Everyone knows that we are Stitchers. Everyone knows what we do. Everyone knows that we have access to their loved ones' memories. And how does that affect us in everyday life now that we're in the public eye? Ooh. And we, you know, and how we eventually could just be getting crucified for just doing our jobs. But at the end of the day, if you kind of think, oh yeah, this is an NSA program, but like, who says that they have a right to see me and what I do in someone's memory, you know, just because they need to solve a case. And it's you know, it's a fine line that you got to walk, which I think is really interesting to see how that affects these characters that we know and have come to love, and how that, you know, affects their everyday life, and how they have to maybe look over the shoulder a little more out in the public life. I would love to see that kind of, you know, how that program is something they need to survive because it's given them so much life. At the same time, in turn, it's kind of, you know, it could kill them.
Wow. If that ends up being a season three storyline, wow.
yeah, exactly. That's what we're all kind of hoping for, what, you know, for that other season, just to kind of really just set it over the edge. So, you know, just keep spreading the word that we're, you know, a great show, and I know I think we'll get it. So,
definitely, like I said, this show has been one of my tiny surprises. I enjoyed the show from the beginning. I didn't expect to fall in love with it as I did, and that's a credit to you guys' performance of the characters. And I can't help myself. I love the little nerd shout outs that are just buried in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because at the end of the day, you know, they're all relatable. Every character, you know, someone like that in your real life. So I think that's what, you know, brings you back.
Okay, so are you working on anything else that people can catch you in?
Right now I'm shooting an independent film called Call Sheet. It's kind of like a horror film. It's a little bit different than what I'm used to doing, but I'm shooting that right now in Philly. And I don't know when that's supposed to get released. I think they said 2017, but I'll be sure to kind of plug it once we find out more information. But it's definitely going from sci-fi to horror. It's, you know, it's another genre that I never thought I'd find myself in, but here I am. So I'm having a great time.
Well, we over here are some horror fans, so definitely give us a ping and we'll check it out.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Talk it up for you. So
thank you. Yeah.
I wish I could pick your brain more, but I know you're, you know, state secrets and all, you're tied into that, but thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Again, Kyle Harris, who plays Cameron on Freeform's Stitchers. You can watch it Tuesday nights on Freeform. I have to get used to saying Freeform.
Yeah, you and me both.
But it's a wonderful show. It's light. It's fun. It's got just enough drama, just enough geek humor that I think a lot of people who haven't checked it out probably should. Summer gives her two thumbs up, so go check it out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kyle.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you, wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pole, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
I don't think I can actually say enough times and with enough feeling how much I love Stitchers. This is a fun, fun show. And I'm really happy that we're getting more and more smart, funny shows that are lighter in nature, but still hold on to that that quality that appeals to the sci-fi geek, the sci-fi aficionado. The television shows have been improving, and I don't know if I have the words to express how much I appreciate that. Now, it's also harder for me to watch all of them because not all of these outlets, these stations, are available on streaming platforms, but I'll live with it. Stitchers is great. Lucifer's last three episodes were unbelievable. That was a twist I didn't see coming. And no, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Go watch it. The show's on Hulu. The next show Fox has for its mid-season, spring, summer, whatever, is called Houdini and Doyle. And I think I'll be checking that out just because the premise is intriguing. It's a period piece. I don't know how far they're going to go into the paranormal or the supernatural, but it seems like it's worth checking out. So maybe I'll do a little 5 episodes in review for that. Or since Ginny is the Sherlock Holmes Uber fan around here, she might get to it before I do. So we'll see. Sci-Fi Channel is killing it right now. We have Winona Earp, which, that is such a good show. That is such a good show. I hope that Emily Andras being on Winona Earp doesn't cause a fall off in the fun on Killjoys, because that's where she was last year. And I'm looking forward to Killjoys like you would not believe right now. But for the moment, I'm enjoying Winona Earp. I'm also liking Hunters. It's a little harder to try to track down people to talk to about Hunters, but I've liked what I've seen in the first 2 or 3 episodes so far. I also need to catch up on 12 Monkeys, and I have to finish watching The Magicians. I kind of slacked there. Sorry about that. It's a good show. And it's totally my fault that I didn't catch up with it when it ended. Season 1 ended. I am looking forward to taking advantage of some of the technology sales that I'm sure will be coming up for Memorial Day at the end of May, and obtaining an Amazon Fire TV for myself. Mainly curious to see if Hulu behaves better through a device than coming directly into the smart TV. I have not been able to get tech support over at Hulu to understand what's going on. They keep saying, well, internet browsers through TVs are not supported. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's your app. I click the Hulu app on the TV, and then halfway through some of the commercials, it breaks. And the error says, internet browser will close due to an internal error. And they see that it says internet browser, and they think I'm using a web browser on the TV to watch Hulu, the website Hulu. Like, no, it's your app. Your app is busted. Fix it. Oh. You know what? I'm going to take a video of what I'm watching and send them a link to it saying, here, this is what happens. I'm not the only person with a Sony TV who's complained about this problem. Can it be that they just don't get it? I had one tech support person say, well, try to get something that has the app. The TV has the app. The TV has had the app since 2010. You have a press release on your website saying, Sony smart TVs now feature Hulu app. Duh! Sorry, I'm ranting. And I'm only ranting because there's finally more stuff on TV I want to watch, and without signing up for a cable package, I can't watch it. However, Ulterior Motive, Amazon Fire TV, PlayStation View will give me some of the channels I want. So once I do get that, and thank you for everyone who told me about the PlayStation View packages, I will file a report because I'm certain my television viewing habits is something you want to hear about. We are getting ready for Phoenix Comic Con coming up the beginning of June. Looking forward to having some reports from Noah and Darren from that event, as always. Looking forward to getting some more writers of comics and video games on the show, because storytelling isn't just about books and movies and TV. There are stories all around us, and more people are writing more and more stories for more and more media, more and more different types of media. I want to find all the people making indie films, short films, web series, independent comics, regular comics, video games, independent games, platform games, just games in general. We have an interview coming up soonish with someone who was involved in the writing of Quantum Break, and that is a really, really fun interview, as you will soon hear. But my television rant for the day is done. And that will do it for now for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, please call. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, leave a comment. You can also email your questions and comments to me directly, summer@sliceofscifi.com. If you have an opinion of the movies and television shows and video games that we're reviewing here or at popculturegeeks.com, feel free to leave your own rating. I know there was a lot of disagreement about the entertainment value and story quality of the recent Batman versus Superman movie, which I thought was interesting. I did not expect that wide a berth between different people seeing the movie, but that happens quite a bit. I loved Pacific Rim when it came out. A lot of people didn't, and I couldn't figure out why. I mean, seriously, it's giant robots fighting giant monsters. Who doesn't love that? Really? Come on. Anyway, leave a review for the show over on iTunes. Leave a rating, leave a review. You can also check us out on Stitcher and on TuneIn. If you have those apps on your smartphone, you can still listen in to Slice of Sci-Fi. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi, @SliceOfSciFiTV. Check us out on Google+, Slice of Sci-Fi. And as always, come to the website, SliceOfSciFi.com, or any of the other sites providing entertainment for you, never-endingly, or intermittently, depending on who's got what on their plate. We have writersafterdark.com, popculturegeeks.com, and of course, kickassmysticninjas.com. Thank you everyone who's supporting the show through donations via Patreon. Your support truly, truly is welcomed, appreciated, and needed. Every dime you guys send in goes to help keep the websites online, the media for these shows online. So thank you. Because the fewer things I have to worry about means the more time I have to spend finding cool interviews and cool content for you, our listening audience. And if you want to help support this show and all the other sites as well, you can do that by going over to patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have a moment, go over to ParsecAwards.com. Send in a nomination for the show if you've liked what you've been hearing. We're eligible now. Last year, I don't think we were fully eligible. I don't remember. I think there was some overlap with the hiatus beforehand, but we're fully eligible now, so go ahead and submit a nomination. You have till the end of May to do that, and hopefully that'll be one more step in spreading the word about the show that we're still here, and we're still providing great entertainment for you guys, our fans and listeners. As always, my heartfelt thanks goes out to the geek rock band Psyfried for the theme music that graces the show now. Thank you, guys. If you like your geek rock with a little touch of awesome, go check their website out, psy-friedband.com, and tell them Summer sent you. But that'll do it. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.